Welcome to Convos with QVic, a podcast where queer community leaders at the University of Victoria talk about their queer identities, coming out, resources for queer residents, and all things LGBTQ+ related. My name is Seal Joe, and I'll be your host, along with our special guests, CLs Quinton, Sev, Sarah, and Narissa. Thank you for joining us for our first episode. Today we'll be talking about gender identity with our guest CLs, Sarah and Narissa.
Welcome, Sarah and Narissa.
Thank you.
So today we're going to be talking about the gender binary and gender dysphoria. So what are y'all's thoughts on that?
Let's start with the gender binary.
To introduce myself, my name is Sarah. My pronouns are she, her.
I'm Narissa. I use they, them pronouns.
For me, I have never struggled with my gender identity. So at some point I feel ill fit commenting. However, on the gender binary, I think it's quite interesting to see how our society has shifted in recent years.
On the other side of the spectrum, I'm very much trans, so I have had lots of these conversations and thoughts with myself. Yeah, gender is a weird thing that kind of fit for me until it didn't, and then trying to figure out what fits is a weird process.
Can you explain the process of realizing it didn't fit and how you found what did?
I think spending a lot of time with my thoughts over quarantine was kind of a big catalyst for me, and realizing that I kind of had the room to experiment not only with the clothes I was wearing, which was something I'd been doing a lot throughout high school, but also that I had a chance to experiment with what language made me feel better and what wording made me feel better. And then that just kind of opened a whole can of worms.
And how do you guys identify on the binary right now?
I'm a cisgendered female.
I identify as trans, non-binary, trans mask, any of those.
I identify with I don't know yet, which is totally valid. Never really thought about the gender binary. I always saw myself as a woman up until this year. I started using she, they pronouns when other people use the they, them pronouns for me. I just remember getting super happy about it. So I'm still trying to figure things out. Do you guys have any advice for people who are questioning their gender identity?
One thing that I very much kind of laughed at first, but has been really helpful for me, has been just writing down in bullet points how I'm feeling about my gender every day, because it's kind of helped me be more honest with myself, be more open to thinking about some of the scarier parts about my identity.
I honestly think just trying out new things never hurt. I know for myself, I'm a woman. I'm very, very politically, how can I be the best person I am? And at one point, people were asking me about using they, them pronouns, and I have an internal struggle about it because I am not trans. Because I feel publicizing using those pronouns for people is a huge, huge thing. However, for me, I feel I take that away if I start identifying, because I don't have those same struggles as other people that use those.
For me, the reason I question my gender is because I don't necessarily believe gender should be a big thing. Almost in my head, I was talking to Maria, who's also a CL, and her mother tongue is Tagalog from the Philippines, and they don't have words for she or he. It's just they, that's how the culture is. And I think that's super cool, and I think it would be cool to have a society where everyone was just they, but I also understand that people are very validated identifying as a woman or a man. Mm-hmm. So it's very complicated.
Yeah, I just think at least for me, because we live in this Western society that still labels everybody, mm-hmm. and we still use that language, that it's almost taking people's power away when I don't have the same struggles. And giving people who use they, them pronouns a voice is super, super important. For and they sure. don't need a whole bunch of cisgendered women being I identify as they, because mm. what's going to end up happening is it's going to dishearten how much progress they've made eventually. And I feel I never want to be in that position where I'm almost like capitalizing off of using it. And I think eventually I would love to get to a place where gender doesn't matter. But unfortunately, right now it does where we live.
And how would you suggest being like a good ally towards people who are trying to figure out their gender identity or don't fall on like the gender binary of man and woman?
I honestly think just being completely open to whoever opens up to you about wanting, or like they're like, hey, I think I'm non-binary. Your number one question then should be, how can I support you with that? And not giving them any expectations, because it's hard enough to go through that. But having people have to explain to you why they use they/them pronouns or whatever is not going to help them in any way unless they want to share it. Like, no pressuring, just what can I do to support you?
Sure.
I don't know. I feel like that's the best ally to be, is giving people space and not taking up that space.
Being there for folks like when they come out, but also being there for folks before they come out. And, you know, if you have like close friends who, you know, explicitly, if they come to you and ask like, hey, I want to play around with my pronouns with you, or I want to like play around with my name with you, kind of being able to open up that space without like making assumptions, I think is huge and is a skill that takes practice. But, you know, if you have a friend who comes and is like, hey, I want to come, you know, use you as a springboard to explore my identity, that's a huge step and a huge honor to be involved with too.
I think something also, I was actually listening to a podcast, funny enough, and was talking about gender, and I think it's really interesting because some people want to make a big deal out of it and others do not. And I think also the best way to be an ally is knowing what that person actually wants, because you can make this big deal out of it and they just want it to be a part of them and not their whole person.
And so, I think knowing that that can like change too, and like,
yeah,
not only is the way that people's, you know, not only are people's identities fluid, but the way that they like think about and like celebrate their identities. If someone comes out to you, they might not want that huge celebration like right away, because it might still be very overwhelming, or that's just not what's right for them. If 3 months later they're like, I just want to talk for like 3 hours about like my transness, being open to that change.
Yeah, I know, like in first year I had two very good friends come out as trans to me. One of them was not 100% sure about parents and stuff, so the way that I supported her the best of my abilities was I had some leftover makeup that I just never used, so gave it to her. And then on top of that, when my friend got his driver's license gender changed, we made a little cake, because it was just a good day. So I think like knowing that person also helps.
Totally. I really want to throw myself like a gender reveal party.
Please. Oh,
yes.
Just still figuring out what that reveal is going to be. But, you know, one day.
Nice. And moving on to gender dysphoria. So what is it and what does it feel like?
I think dysphoria is something I've still been like learning a lot about. I think often when we talk about dysphoria, we talk about the very classic hating your body and like not feeling at home in your body and, you know, feeling like you're in the wrong body or you're trapped. But there are a ton of other types of dysphoria. There's pronoun dysphoria, which is where, you know, like pronouns that people are using don't feel right, or they make you feel kind of icky or incomplete. You know, there's name dysphoria, there's voice dysphoria, there's dissociative dysphoria, which is one I found really interesting and really resonated with me, which is essentially where like you don't see yourself when you look in the mirror, and your body, your kind of head feels very disconnected from your body, which is a very like kind of interesting one to dive into. But yeah, a lot of like disconnection, I think, is how I would describe it.
Totally. And how would someone like handle, I don't know if handle is the right word, but how, if you're feeling, if maybe someone that's listening is feeling dysphoric, like what could they do to help?
I think being honest with yourself about, you know, kind of acknowledging what you're feeling and like why, especially if it's like a new feeling that you're not like super used to, and then playing around with what's, you know, gonna make you feel a little bit better or like help you get through that moment. One thing I found really useful is the concept of like body neutrality. You know, there's been sometimes if I'm having like a pretty bad dysphoria day, I'll focus on parts of my body that I can like accept. So things like I'll be thankful for my hands because they can like hold a cup of coffee. And even though it's like the coffee is the thing that's making me happy, being thankful for like my hands for helping get that coffee into my body. Gender is wild.
True.
Yeah, don't be afraid to explore it. It's fluid. It might change constantly.
Yeah, one thing I've been trying to figure out is saying gender. Like, I often will kind of, like, was saying to myself, like, oh, you know, gender isn't real, as a way to almost feel, like, validated in my own, like, confusions about my gender. But then I've been hearing from other kind of, like, binary trans folk that that can feel really invalidating. That's been something I've been, like, trying to internalize. I don't know what to do with that thought.
Thanks for listening to our first episode of Convos with QVIC. Join us next week, where we'll be talking about labeling.